start. I mean, having a baby on top is going to be an absolute full extension to do the next, but you've got to have it.
Okay.
Go, do, 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 and into the middle.
So you have to go.
Okay. And once again, with the thumb.
For it, people.
Hey! Happy birthday, Lug Radio!
Happy birthday!
Happy first birthday to us!
Season 2, episode 10.
Hang on, where's the cake?
Hang on, bear with me, I've got an agenda here, I need to tick off some bullshit squeeze box playing.
Thank you.
Ticked off the agenda.
It's our 1 year anniversary, yeah, this Lug Radio.
Episode 10.
Yep, season 2, episode 10. We've got Matt Ravel. Say hello, Matt.
Hi, I'm Matt.
Adrian Balchor.
Adrian Balchor, yes. Present here, sir. Present and correct.
Mr. Stuart Langridge.
All right.
I'm John O'Bacon. And for a special episode, we've got our old pal back.
Hey, dudes.
Hey, Sparkles. Nice one. Welcome back, Sparks.
Cool. No problems.
How you doing?
I'm fine, fine. Lots of fresh air.
Oh. Is this your fucking allotment again?
This is the allotment. Probably the first of many mentions of the allotment tonight.
Yeah.
Tell us about Mios.
Mios is a little dead since I dropped my Intel box.
Who dropped it?
Jenny dropped. So I'm now a Mac user.
Yeah. Well, I think nice. Deliberately making him incriminate himself on air was a bit unfair.
So Sparks is back for the duration of this episode.
Woohoo!
And
it's going to be a short one.
You could have took your wellies off.
Get off my land!
Get off my land!
Do people outside the UK know what an allotment is?
Well, it's the Allotment Act that said, yeah, I think they do actually.
Does anybody care?
It's called an allotment.
For people who don't know, it's a small patch of grass that tramps use.
And the Sparks grows his veggies on.
It's a piece of land set aside by the government for people to grow food.
Yeah,
for
Sparks,
particularly old people to grow food.
Sparks grows his
technically
veggies.
I am about 50 years younger than the average on our allotment site.
So yeah, gardening. Open gardening.
Yep. What are we talking about tonight?
Gardeners question time.
Tonight, we're going to talk about... I have a list.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
This never happened in series one.
I know. You
well, it did. Matt used to write it with us. He's a loser.
This is professional. We
he
need
just
to
loses tennis.
We need to have some bullshit squeeze box playing.
Oh, thank you.
Which we've already done. Thank you very much. We can talk about Hulu. We can talk about being slash dotted. We're going to talk about the archives and BitTorrent and things like that. We're going to talk to a Java guy about the status of free and open source Java.
Sven Demarotti.
Yep. Sven Demarotti. We're going to read a shitload of emails. You can't read
all of those emails.
We are going to leave unread another shitload of emails that we've received from you guys.
Yes. Let's talk to
what's
the
that
man
called?
Jeff Waugh. He's the dude. So he's going to give us a bit of an announcement later on about some stuff that they're working on. Not an enema. That would be disgusting.
Would have your ass.
A long time there.
What are you saying,
mate?
TopJono.com.
TopJono.org.
Thank you. So, you said about the slash dot thing. Let's talk about that right now. We got slash dotted.
And
it was incredible. Whoa. Now, Matt, tell people just how many listeners and how many, the kind of figures we were
normally,
talking about.
Normally, within 24, 36 all the way.
Normally, within the first week or so after a show, we get between 1,000 and 2,000 downloads of the show, and then it carries on through the archives. This week, this time, we had, including BitTorrent, approximately 14,000 downloads. So, hello!
Hello to all you.
You do realise they're not listening now, don't you?
No, they are.
They might be.
Well, when they play it back, they will be.
Hopefully they might be listening now. Secondly, this is makes it clearly apparent that Mono is 7 times more popular than all other development paradigms put together, so thank you very much for that, everybody.
That means the Java guys, you must get the show slash dotted if you want to appear at all
as popular as Mono.
We also, didn't you say that we shifted something ridiculous like 86 gig in 24 hours?
I think it was a little bit more than that. I think it was heading on for something like 200 gig is what we ended up shifting, which is crazy, really.
Considering we don't have any kind of formalised, massive, official kind of
We rely
on our grassroots mirror effort. It's fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
I think we should give them a round of applause.
Nice one.
Well done, Mirror Guys.
Not at all wooden there, the applause, but it is heartfelt.
It is. So, should we get on with the show?
Should we begin?
Let's crack one off.
Let's do it.
One off the wrist.
Oh, no! Can we do the show first?
I'll get the biscuits. Right, the other day, I was sat at work. My colleague opposite me screamed with glee, and I inquired what he was screaming at.
And he got off his dick.
That is a slightly dodgy scene to picture.
He screamed with glee at reading Nat Freeman's blog and the announcement of the Hoola Project.
It is Hoola!
Hoola!
Extremely good news if it comes off.
Now, for those of you...
What, like his
slightly
box?
Poor choice of phrase there, perhaps. But
if for those... I was going to say readers. For those listeners who don't know what Hoola is, it's basically an equivalent to Exchange. It provides mail and calendar in.
It's going to be an equivalent to
intention.
Exchange.
Well,
so are a million other projects. The difference is this one might actually release something inside 2 years.
No, what they've said with this one, though, is that it's going to be just mail and just calendars, and they're going to just try and do those
they're
two
focus
things really well.
But
and
they've
then
also,
maybe do something
But else. the other thing which separates this from the other projects that have attempted this is...
Millions of Novell pens?
The 200...
Yeah.
The 200,000 lines of code that Novell have poured into it as well.
I seem to remember
Netmail, and it wasn't that impressive.
I'm not on about lines of code and whether that's impressive. I'm on about the fact that there is functionality written to do.
Yeah, I suppose it's fantastic.
There are already email servers which do calendaring. There's a thing called Citadel. It's actually a BBS system. Some bloke mentioned it to me after I posted about Hoola on my site. He said, why don't you use Citadel? It already does all this stuff. And I went and had a look. It's a BBS system. Telnet BBS. But it also does IMAP mail, and it does POP mail, and it does SMTP, and it does group dev calendaring.
Right.
Nobody fucking knows about it.
So why isn't everyone using it?
Don't know. But that's already got code, and it already works. So it's not just
that they've given us some code to start with, right?
Yeah, they've just said, we're going to do this, and then everyone goes,
It's not good that they've given you code, because the code was shit. Remember how long it took Mozilla to actually clean up the code to make it worth something?
Yeah, but it's a bit different, isn't it?
Installed it. That was like it works.
That was 5 million lines of code, wasn't it? So it was like... It took them ages to do that, because... I mean, but the impression I get is that the code that has been donated from Novell is in a reasonable shape. I mean, Nat seems to have insinuated that the code is in a reasonable shape. Obviously, they've clug-nutted the bollocks out, so...
The Mozilla code, when that came out, was maintained by the same blokes that wrote it originally. They always admitted it was shit, if you look through some of the comments that they originally had in there, allegedly.
The important point about the Mozilla stuff is they didn't release the code to a working Mozilla browser.
Oh, no, they couldn't, because of copyright.
The stuff they had didn't compile and run as a browser. Day they released the code, if you'd gone and downloaded all of Gabol, it didn't work.
No, it didn't feel for 12 months.
Hoola does at least work. It has to work as root, but it does work.
Let's assume that Hoola's good and that it's going to...
Hoola's, it's quite a sexy thing. It's like,
right.
It's a bit like belly dancing, but like the opposite side of the world. It's quite
weightlifting.
But alright, so Hoola's a cool thing and everything. So what impact do we reckon it's going to have for Linux on the desktop and in the enterprise on the server and just in the local school, for example, over the next couple of years?
I think it's going to have a huge impact. A lot of the work we do
it
at Open
has the potential to have.
There's a lot of the work, massive, huge if it works.
We've been saying it for a long time now.
The thing is, a lot of people who we've worked with, we've had to turn away on that one particular component.
This is Open Advantage.
And Open Advantage. And it's simply because...
OpenAdvantage.org.
Yeah, it's simply because it doesn't exist. That functionality you've got things such as Open Groupware, which have only recently started actually having proper releases instead of just snapshots, which people don't have confidence in. And then you've got all these other projects such as Croupware and all the rest, which essentially pull together already built components.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with that is that it's not particularly integrated, and they're always a pain in the ass to set up. If Hoola is easy to set up, and pretty
which it is so far.
And does what it says on the tin, which is what
which it doesn't do. It does what it says on the tin. The tin doesn't say a lot at the moment,
but.
Which is fair enough.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to blame them for that, but they've got big plans for it.
Somebody who's tried to install OpenExchange and then tried to install OpenGroupware, you know, at least I've got Hoola working.
Yeah,
whereas the other two I didn't. So,
really?
You know, considering
that. So you've had a go at getting it working, because
yeah,
I know Axe had a go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
How easy is it to, for example, configure the mail side of things?
It's not bad. That's the one thing I did like about it, was the user management side of things. You can create, like, a new mailbox, and you can set, like, all the different properties of it. Yeah. It's quite nice.
I will confess, I haven't actually got it running any real mail. I've got to the point where it'll listen on mail ports, and I can tell it in and tell it a mail, but I don't trust it with my mail.
So, Ak, have you played around with the calendar at all?
No. I'll be honest with you, I haven't. One of the things...
About three different users and, like, send calendar invites to each other. I wasn't really getting much success, I just wondered whether you did.
I haven't, but one of the main reasons for that is the only calendaring application I use is Sunbird.
Right,
and
okay.
That uses CalDAV, I think.
No, what about the web-based calendar thing?
Oh, right, I don't like web-based calendar stuff.
This is what I was thinking about. One of the things I really like about Hoola is that they're planning to release plugins for things like Thunderbird, for Sunbird, for Evolution, so it's not just going to be... As I understand, OpenExchange is just a web-based thing. I mean, it will have a cool web interface, and I like the whole idea of creating an open-source Gmail, basically.
Yeah,
but I think it's really important, if this is going to have any impact, to have proper client software access.
Yes.
But have they said that they're going to write a new shared calendaring protocol?
No,
they're using an existing one, aren't they?
They're planning to invent two existing ones, CalDAV and GroupDAV.
Right. So they're going to support those two rather than write a new one?
Yes.
Right.
Please don't invent another bloody calendaring protocol. Everyone spent the last 10 years... I'll tell you what, there was vCalendar, and then someone invented iCalendar, which they just format for holding an individual file.
Pretty version of the same thing.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And then...
don't feed the trolls.
And then just at the point when people started saying, right, okay, this is a stable format, and we can use this to store calendars in a file... That someone said, what about xCalendar? We should do it all in XML. And it all went back to the beginning and started again.
xCal, iCal, vCal.
Just...
What about OneCal?
Jump out of a bloody window.
That was a great drink back in the, back in the 80s.
Look, guys, like we know there's only one drink. What is it?
It's Ubuntu.
It's Ubuntu. Oh,
yeah. Where do we drink it?
They drink it.
They drink it in Congo.
I think...
Adam, pull your finger out.
Yeah, sort it out, Adam.
Yeah.
Do the jingle.
Adam Sweet, trying to do us a jingle, completely failing thus far.
Nice blood, though.
Blaming it on Linux, incidentally.
Yeah. I think something that's been interesting about this whole Hoola thing has been the fact that they are really trying to define a new way of working.
They seem to be pouring a lot of energy into it as well.
Did you see JWZ's write up about his rant at NAT?
Who?
Yep.
Jamie Zawinski.
Who is
the guy about all the dirty comments in the Mozilla code?
He's the big Netscape bloke, and he basically said that this kind of idea of creating some software that's useful for people. Was taken by Netscape to a point, if I remember all this rightly, they basically wrote this kind of cool sort of calendaring kind of software. Then it was taken by Netscape, and they basically painted Enterprise all over it and killed it.
Sure, and said, we must make it groupware, and we must sell it to guys with suits.
What is groupware?
And it never fucking took off. That's the point. Anything that helps some people to work
together,
some other people in some ill-defined kind
roughly
of way,
gets
the groupware flag on it, and therefore you can sell it to enterprise people.
But nobody cares. I thought it was rubberware that he bought in sets.
You'd know.
The thing is, I never want to see Sparks in rubberware.
Yes, yes, you do. Not again, anyway.
Again, yeah.
I think what's interesting though is the fact that I think one thing that Nat said was that you should be able to, for example, invite people with just an email address.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all these limitations that are placed around this kind of software, which make it annoying. And the fact that Zawinski said, you know, you need to write software that people can get laid with, which is exactly the way it should be. That's exactly the way it should be.
Slightly, yeah. I mean,
I think he probably gets laid more owning a nightclub than he ever did maintaining a Unix.
No, he gets laid because he wrote X Screensaver or whatever it was.
I love to see you naked after seeing your screensaver.
I thought he actually got laid more.
Hello, Miguel.
Thanks for that.
I thought he actually labelled because he wrote X keycaps rather than anything else. But yeah,
I think it's interesting that Novell have actually got an enterprise-y product that does that already, and then they come out with Hulu.
Two or three, actually, if you think about it, because they've got Open Exchange, which they rebadge with Suzy. They've got group thingy that they do already, and then they've got
group thingy.
Then they've got Netmail, which I suppose is turning into Hula.
Evolution connector thing as well.
Yeah, which gets to Exchange. Yeah.
Okay, so last week we talked to the Mono developers, Axe Friends.
Yes, my very best of very best friends.
So this week we're actually going to talk to some people who are involved with Java.
And just go easy, Ack.
No, I'll be nice to them. Otherwise, I got bollocking last week.
Otherwise, look, he's a calm, thoughtful Swedish gentleman, so don't go
harsh. I thought you were on about him then, Ack.
No, he's a fucking blizzard of fury.
I'm calm. I'm not Swedish. Anyway.
Let's carry on. Let's ring up the man's
Sven friend. De Moroti.
He is a woodpecker.
Who's not the England manager.
Okay, apparently. He's not a woodpecker either. Let's go.
Hi, Sven.
Hello.
Hi, it's Matt from Lug Radio here.
Hello, Sven.
Hello, Sven.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're not too bad. It's a bit snowy here, a bit Scandinavian weather type going on here. You know, but anyway.
We've got snow here too, I promise you.
Oh, nice one.
Falling down Scandinavian women, have we?
We got an email from you and one of your colleagues after we did the whole Mono interview a couple of weeks ago with Miguel de Casa. You were wanting us to basically talk a bit more about Java and chat to you about the way that open source Java, free software Java is moving on. Can you just start off by telling us what projects you're representing and involved in?
Well, personally, I just hack on GNU ClassPath, which is a replacement or compatible library, Java class library. And this is used by just about every free Java VM which is out there. And there are quite a lot of them, you know.
Do you think you could explain in a bit more detail what all the different projects are? Because I don't think a lot of people really understand
it's
the difference between what CAFI is, what GNU ClassPath is, what Jikes is, all that kind of thing.
Okay, well, I think the ones that most people have heard about is, of course, you know, the GNU compiler front end for Java, GCJ, which can compile to native, but it also actually has a Java interpreter, so you don't have to compile to native. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that for a start.
No, I was aware of that.
Not a lot of people know that.
And then there's the CAFA, which is just in time, you know, virtual machine, and there are from the beginning it was a separate project, but they have been moving towards using the ClassPath library more and more.
Right.
Okay. And GCJ also had their own library from the beginning, and they're more or less completely merged now. And basically everybody is, you know, working together because the library is the big thing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of VMs out there, of course. I should mention some more. And there's Sable VM, there's Jam VM, there's IBM's Jikes RVM, there's ORP from Intel.
This would be why I was confused.
Coco, you know.
One question I've got, Sven, is obviously there's a lot of work going on in the area of Java. What kind of progress are you guys making? I mean, I assume that the intention is to essentially re-implement a totally free JVM and all the other Java technology. How far away are you from doing that?
Well, it depends. You know, it's it depends on what your application needs, you know, and we are not following the same exact same development path that Sun did. So, you know, you can't say that we are Java 1.1 or we're Java 1.2, you know, because we are still missing some things which are present in Java 1.2, you know, but on the other hand, we have already implemented things in Java 1.4.
Okay,
And we're even working, we have a fork working on Java 1.5.
Right, okay.
So,
How?
But in general, you know, the basic stuff is there. The main missing parts right now is swing.
Right, yeah.
Nobody's going to miss that.
But when it comes to core bus too, and you know, stuff like a few things. But you know, okay. talking about the basic, the fundamental stuff is all pretty mature by now.
Apart from, I mean, obviously swing's quite important for people writing native Java applications. But apart from that, are you in a position where if an application doesn't use Swing and doesn't use Corba, but it wasn't specifically written for a free software, JVM, free software library, will it work?
I think you've got a very good chance of getting it to work then. I mean,
that's not the completely unambiguous answer I was hoping for.
Okay. Well, you know, you can't guarantee anything, you know. Of course, you know, there are bugs. You know, I'm a developer here, so I'm not going to say that, you know, this is bug-free software, but no software is bug-free, you know. So, but yep. I think a good example is that we have Eclipse. You know Eclipse.
Yeah, the IDE.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not the Solar Eclipse hack. I think we're assuming it's the IDE. Carry on, Sven.
Yeah. Eclipse, you know, it doesn't use Swing. It uses this SWT toolkit, which IBM developed. And it's a pretty big piece of software. I think it's 2 million lines of code.
Yeah.
And we have that running now. We've had it running over the last year, and with, you know, less and less modification. And now it's, you know, running out of the box.
So when are we likely to have, let's say, full Java compatibility? So I can take an applet or an application that's been written specifically for the Sun Java JVM, and I could run it on one of the free software versions.
Well, you know, if you're not using AWT, if you're not using Swing, and you know, you can probably, you know, I mean, you have to try it, you know, but there's quite a lot of, you know.
Okay, cool. I mean, just taking a slight.
I guess, but you've got a good chance. I mean, it probably will run. But there's one thing that I have to say here, is that this is the question we get, you know. Yeah. Will it run something, you know, that runs on the Sun's JDK without any modifications? And if you kind of contrast this to what Miguel was talking about with Mono.
Right.
He was talking about stuff, a lot of stuff being developed for Mono specifically.
Yeah.
You know, and so people are kind of judging these things on a little bit different metrics, you know. They're not asking the Mono people, will this run everything, you know, developed for .NET?
Free Java!
Free Java!
Free the Java massive!
Is that like free Kevin Mitnick thing? Have we got to leave, like, yellow stickers around?
Skolarov?
Yeah, free Java.
Yeah, so that was
Svender Morosi
from...
Svender
from Sweden, I assume, anyway.
Svender Bumflaps.
Svender Java man.
Yeah. Sven from the Glue Classpath project. Demarotti.
Doesn't he always say yes?
That's the man from Del Monte.
Oh, right, yeah.
Anyway, free Java, what do we think? It doesn't work yet.
It's free.
I know what we think. We think it's rubbish and we should use Python.
No, that's what ACK thinks.
I'm glad you think that as well, Baldman.
It's 50% good. It's free. The other 50% I'm not too sure about yet.
The thing is, it should be Java.
It isn't quite there.
No, I mean, to be fair, if you adjust your expectations of what Java is, and he said it works, that's fine.
Well, you adjust it down to where it... Shut up!
Just your expectations of something that's really simple to do.
There's a massive code base out there.
There is.
Yeah. So you had a very good point there.
There's a lot of sad people out there, yeah, but there's no denying that.
You also had a good point about not breaking backwards compatibility like they would do with maybe a Word document. So yeah, some good points.
I thought you made some really good points. I mean, at the end of the, you see, you don't like it, ACK, because it's
not
Java.
No. I think they're doing excellent work. I really do. I don't happen to like Java the language myself personally, but that's not because particularly I think it's ethically bad. I just think it's a pain in the ass to write code in.
It's because it's not Python.
does anyone know what we lose from OpenOffice from not running the Java elements on it?
No. I don't really know. There's little bits, aren't there?
There are some. I thought that Java was mainly used in the build, not actually in running.
Because, I mean, if you put it on Windows and it does say that you have to have a JVM on it to get it to fully function, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yep. All right.
If we really need to know that, we could ask Russ, couldn't we? About Man 42, is he?
Yeah.
He does
yeah.
that kind of stuff, so.
All right, okay.
That's another interview coming up.
Email us in, Russ.
Doesn't he do the, is that Russ who runs the macros?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Ooh, macros.
Ooh, macros.
See, I thought it was like, ooh macros.
Hang on a second. Who let him in?
Ah. Yeah.
We've already introduced you in the intro.
I've been hiding in the cupboard for 6 months.
That's where you've been, man.
What do you mean, Aid, that who let him in? You know, we've been talking to him earlier in the show, haven't we?
Do you remember the intro, Aid?
Twat.
Aid, you still haven't figured this out.
We haven't done the intro yet. I wonder if we should cut this bit out.
I agree.
Right, let's stop now.
Let's actually talk about Java, free Java, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the outro of Free Java. You don't get it either.
No, right, yeah, Tosser. So the Free Java thing. I was good then.
It's like the first episode all over again.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay.
There seem to be two completely separate
not
code
two.
Bases
no.
in the end.
No,
yeah,
not
really.
Two. There's not
really.
Two, I'm
really?
Sure.
Really? No, really? I'm sorry, there are. You've got web stuff and real applications.
There's two of them.
There's not a third.
Everyone knows that.
And
please, God, let it be a third.
Sometimes
no, I'm sorry.
5 to make the numbers equal.
From what he was saying there, Java stuff that's web applications, you know, things like J2EE and that kind of thing, all running behind Apache Tomcat and Java servers and all that kind of thing, seems to be working all right on Linux. It's
sounded that way.
It's real applications. And real applications won't work until they've got Swing, the widget set, or AWT, the widget set,
can we just,
or whatever.
Just point this out before anyone from IBM or Apache comes and hatches you up to death in their beds.
These are horses' heads.
They are real applications. You are talking about natively compiled type applications.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Sorry, rich client applications rather than web applications. You talk to a bloke who develops web applications all day. I'm aware that they're right, you know.
Isn't he swing arse, though?
Yes. Yeah, but everybody's still using it because it's all there was. It's not as arse as AWT, which is what you had before Swing.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay.
My arse swings.
It flaps as well.
just to quickly bring us back to the Free Java though. I mean, what do we think the future of Free Java is? I mean, do you think it is gonna, I don't know, it just seems that there's been a lot of work on it, and although they've done a lot on it and have achieved a lot, they don't seem to have achieved everything yet. Do you think it's gonna happen?
Can I tell you what I think the future of Free Java is? Sun open source in Java.
Sun will call it open source, but it won't be open source. That's another argument.
The thing is,
phone me up, I'll be a guest on that one.
It's the same sort of thing, you know, like with when Qt was considered non-free, and that you had the, I think it was called the Harmony Project.
Yeah.
And there's work going on that, and as soon as Qt was open source, it's died to death.
Harmony just died.
Shouldn't we
to
just
dust?
Bin it all and use Mono?
Personally, I don't think so. Other people may think so.
Ack, I've got a question for you. If you had to choose between Mono and Java, which would you choose?
Java.
Really?
Yeah, because Java, to my mind, is more ethically sound than Mono is.
Okay.
There you go. I told you it was a big worry last week. I wasn't kidding.
Jython, I presume.
Well, yeah, I'd run Jython, but that's not the point. You didn't ask about that.
Hello, Slug Radio. It's Nero from Slug Radio here. How are you doing? Happy birthday. Hope you're all enjoying yourselves. Don't eat too much cake. Stay away from the balloons, Johnny. Oh, not the balloons, Mummy. Hope you're all doing well. All I can say is keep doing what you're doing. Keep interviewing all the right people. Don't interview the wrong people. Please don't interview RMS. He will sing at you. You will not enjoy it. Keep up with the irreverence. Keep up with everything open source. And just keep ticking on.
Give us a bell on the Lug Radio voicemail on 0870 931 1730. If you're international, call on +44 870 931 1730. Try and keep it under about 30 seconds and it might just get on.
So, on the BBC website today, if you guys saw it, was the top 10 gadgets of all time.
No, I didn't see it. What
it did seem
voted
to catch...
for by who?
I did follow that. They didn't actually put the link. They just
bit
mentioned
of paper,
it.
Mate.
According to
the
according
magic bit
to Mobile
paper.
PC Magazine.
Ah.
Star, star, star.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so caught my eye. So what I thought I'd do is I'd read the top three in reverse order.
No.
No.
All 10.
All ten.
I think all ten, but quickly.
Just give me a second, because I'm going to edit in some cheesy music over the top of this.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Go.
So, at number 10, we have the TiVo Series 1 from 1999.
Okay.
Any thoughts on the TiVo?
Yeah, TiVo.
Okay. Whatever. Number 9, we've got the Atari 7600 from 1977.
It's a 2600.
They've got 7600. I knew you'd know that.
That's about 81.
That was the little thing with the... Okay, number 8, we've got the Diamond Multimedia Rio 300.
Woo! The MP3 player.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, whatever, exactly. Number 7, we've got US Robotics Pilot 1000.
I had 1000 and a 5000.
Was it any good?
What are they?
Like the Palm Pilots?
Top, yeah, see, I thought
the original, but no, the original no, Palm Pilot.
So, yep. In at 6, we've got the Casio QV10 digital camera in 1996.
No, I had one of them.
Bollocks.
Yeah. I had one of them, they were good.
Did it take a floppy? Was it one of them ones?
Yeah, it had a Sony plastic magic strap.
They use those in the schools quite a lot. Cameras that take floppies.
Top anyway, cameras.
Number 5, we have, I don't get this one, CDI Mechanical Mouse 1970.
I presume that's them thingy.
Xerox Park.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I'm way out.
Doug Engelbart.
Number 4, I can actually say that I've owned, and it's a very good one, Motorola StarTAC.
Yep.
Yeah?
The little
original clamshell,
one.
Yeah? Yep. Very nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Top 3, then.
Here we go.
At number 3,
it's the Sony Walkman. So it had to be, really, didn't it? The Walkman had to be in the top 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely.
And 2.
I've no idea why number 2 is number 2. The Zenith Space Control Remote Control. Space Command. Remote control.
And bully special prize!
It's from 1956. That's probably one of the original Sonic dudes.
And silence everybody now as A tells us what the most popular gadget of all time is, as voted for by Mobile PC Magazine.
The number one gadget of all time, it says here, is the Apple PowerBook 100.
Ah!
You cannot believe how happy I am to see that.
That was actually a nice little sleek black thing. It was well ahead of its
time. No, it wasn't!
Oh, it was well ahead of its time.
So, Aid, what do you think of that?
I agree.
Come on, give us the truth, man.
I do not feel either way about it.
you're not angry, you're just disappointed.
Just giving up, isn't it?
It only had one mouse button.
No! Stop it! Hey, perhaps you tell us your worst gadget of all time, followed up by your best.
Yes. Well, my worst gadget of all time would be the Apple PowerBook 1991, followed by all products called Apple released afterwards.
Or beforehand.
No, beforehand. There were some classics. The SC is beautiful.
TCI. I have one of them.
I was in Selfridges the other day, and they got Apples there. And that one mouse button, it's about 5 inches wide. It's like you wear mittens to use the Apple.
Because the user's stupid. I've got an Apple Pro mouse, and it's beautiful.
An Apple Pro mouse?
You can only use it when you're in macOS. I have to just hide it when I'm using real...
I tell you what was funny. In Selfridges, this Apple with the 5-inch wide single mouse button actually had, plugged into the USB port, a Microsoft mouse. I nearly took a picture of it. It's hilarious.
Aid, your favourite gadget of all time?
Come on, Aid.
I don't know.
The Apple Pro
Tungsten T3, I know.
Ah, good choice.
Cool.
Got a Tungsten T3.
Sparks?
Worst gadget, Jesus. Sparks.
Go quicker than that.
I'll go later.
I'll go now if you want.
Go.
Right, my worst or favourite first?
Worst.
Worst.
My worst is the Philips digital cassette system from the 90s, where they basically took a normal cassette.
DCC,
that was it. And they stuck a weird DDC flappy thing on it. And they tried to re-release loads and loads and loads and loads of music in a really poor form of DAT, basically.
What's the flappy thing? I mean, what was the flappy thing? Was sweet potato
or
something?
It's like, you know, when you've got a normal VHS cassette, it had a flap over it to protect the tape.
Yeah.
And basically, what it was Philip's idea of doing recordable digital music, but the problem with it was that it was just crap. it was sequential as well.
It was the prime fault there, backwards compatibility. They wanted to be able to play an ordinary audio cassette in the same player.
I mean, that was fantastic. Got squashed by the music industry. Philips come along, bring out this poor second, and, you know.
So, Matt, what's your favourite?
Well, as it seems like the survey that we're basing this on uses a computer as its first one, I'm going to use a computer myself. And I've been torn, while thinking about this, between some very good machines. My first thought was the ZX81 from Sinclair, but I had to push that away.
One on my desk.
That had a major, major impact on me.
We're not interested in your first thought.
ZX Spectrum was the next one. Okay, my favourite gadget of all time is the Commodore Amiga 500 Plus.
Why Plus?
Why? Because it just brought it up that little bit better. It just gave you that little bit more.
It just added that little bit of extra incompatibility. The Commodore would build on over the years.
You said incompatible, but I think they added that little bit of extra ink. A plus.
Can I just say also, my favourite part about that was copper rainbows. Anyone who's had an Amiga will know what I mean by a copper rainbow.
Thank you. I'm sure they appreciate it.
Okay. Well done the other two Amiga people for getting
that. Have you thought of something yet, Sparks?
Have you ever seen a copper rainbow?
Huh? No, it's ginger, not copper.
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that my answer might incriminate.
He refuses because he's strawberry blonde, aren't you? That's right.
Yeah, that's me.
So, sparkle doodles.
I'm going to have to think on. I can't think of
think
anything.
On.
Joe,
anything
no bacon.
Bad. Okay, worst off. Yeah, worst first. Worst first is ADSL. I don't like ADSL.
It is a crap technology, but
It's not compromised.
It's just technology.
The reason for this is because I was with Telewest, and for our non-Midlands listeners, Telewest is cable internet, and it was very good, but they don't have it, even though I moved 600 metres away from my previous house. They don't have it in this house, because someone's got a fucking great larder outside the front of our house.
What's that going to do with it?
It's just stupid reasons. So basically, I've got to use this tossy, anti-dumpling... sadistic line.
ADSL's not that bad because BT just upped me from 1 meg to 2 meg and knocked a 5 off the monthly price.
And favourite is my Palm Tungsten T3. Absolutely brilliant PDA.
Cool.
Simple as that.
Spark. or me if you have
go.
Ackles.
Okay.
Worst gadget.
Worst gadget. Worst gadget ever is every single DVD remote controller that has ever existed. Because they're all a bollocks. Yeah. I mean, part of this is the whole DVD menus thing, where we've taken the whole science and craft of usability and thrown it back 30 fucking years. Make it really, really difficult to pick anything other than the thing, you know, the main thing
to
play.
One, yeah.
Rectangle, lots of rectangles on it. That's
yep. It's a pain in the arse. You have to, you know, you've got 10 things. Although, so you have to cursor through the first nine in order to get to the last one.
No, there's two. The one you want and the one you fucking highlighted at that moment.
So your ideal controller would have two things.
two things.
Actually, that would be fine. A controller with play what I want written on one button and
turn off
on the other.
Yeah. That
would be fine.
See me muscles.
And it would be coded in Python, would it?
I'm sure. You suppose you could run an operating system on the fucking inside of your remote control if you were desperate.
There's a thing with remote controls that really bugs me, right? You can spend £300 or £400 on a piece of kit, and a remote control still only £2.50 worth of shit these days. Remote controls used to go up in quality and which you spent. You could buy a good bit of audio kit years ago.
Very good point.
And get a nice remote control.
What the fuck you buy these days?
It's a piece of plastic shit.
And they're all fucking different. You buy a different DVD player, completely different remote control. We've got to use the one you had before. It's got the same buttons on it.
Open IR, that's what we need.
You do realise that they're not actually attached to the telly any longer.
They are my video store.
Hey, what did you say?
I said open IR, that's what we need. A standard.
We need it as much as we need open dildonics, mate.
Hey, open dildonics is a quality project. Both some quality hackers.
You had a favourite.
Favourite device.
Open dildonics.
Sharp Zeros.
Right.
Sharp Zeros 5500.
Great.
Fantastic fucking thing. And unlike everyone else's PDA, mine actually runs Linux.
What we're talking about is digital cameras. While we're talking about remote controls.
Neat segue there from Matt.
A mate of mine who runs.
Segue, worst ever.
Yeah. A mate of mine who runs.
Don't adjust it.
You got a best yet?
No, that's my worst yet.
Oh, okay. So, a mate of mine who runs a blog called The Apothecary's Drawer linked some photos.
Drawers?
The Apothecary's Drawer. It's called Ray
Say
Gervin.
Say that again, you can't say that for second word.
The Apothecary's Drawer.
Thank you, okay.
He linked to some photos taken by digital camera of remote control, and you can actually see the ultraviolet light on it because it picks it up. And
yeah, you can. Yeah. Camera
fantastic.
Well.
Hey, that's quality. I didn't know you could do that.
And that accounts for a lot of the stuff you see in shows like Most Haunted.
I thought they were infrared.
It's infrared, which is why you can see it on a camera, because digital cameras don't filter infrared normally. Okay,
cool.
Well, let's get moving on. My worst ever is the Commodore 64.
Yeah!
Bollocks! It's a fucking great machine.
Quality machine.
Of all the fucking arguments over the wankers who had them. Yeah. It's got 64K! Yours has it. Yes, it fucking has. You daft fucker.
More to the point, the games were no better for a Commodore 64 than they were for a Spectrum 32.
They were genuinely shitter. They just
were not better.
They were a shitload better.
A few American titles, you know, were okay. European stuff was shit.
Did you hear that?
Was that about three of them, was it?
Yeah. We've been donated some money.
We've had a tip.
Thanks a lot.
Who's it from?
I've got no idea.
Have you got it written down?
Oh
you've chucked it on the floor.
And my best ever is my new tool for the allotment.
What is it? Was it invented by Jethro Tull or something?
Oh, this is fucking genius. I was listening to Jethro Tull the other day.
It's an allotment tool.
An allotment tool.
Dull.
Well, it's not. It's fucking sharp.
Listen to Mr. Bradshaw.
You can cut your hair with it if you had any.
I'll remember to tell my dad about it.
I don't suppose your dad's Mick Jagger. Because he has donated the £3 to us.
Mick Jagger. Thanks a lot, Mick Jagger.
A guy called Jagger.
Thanks, Jagger.
We appreciate that.
That's Dave, who's got the nice one next to him. His dog.
But remember, Russ and Jen were first.
Yep.
Yes.
Jagger, we appreciate that. I mean, it's great that people are continuing to chuck donations in tip jar. And keep them coming.
Don't get sharpened every time. Linux events, we've talked about them before. We've talked about them lots and lots and lots before. And we're going to talk about them again. I think the last time I introduced Linux events, I said Linux events aren't they shit and let everyone else do it. So Linux events, are they still shit?
They're getting shitter, in my opinion.
That's what I thought originally. Yeah.
They're getting more corporate, and basically you only really go for the social life.
Well, they're getting more corporate. The stands are getting smaller and a less good freebie, so what the fuck's that about being corporate?
With one exception, the Novell girlies are generally quite fit.
Yeah.
I think they're getting more corporate, but they're getting smaller at the same time. So they're getting less corporate.
Red Hat used to have quite a big girl.
I was going to say, we're about the Novell girls.
Not the women.
They're getting more inflated, aren't they?
Are we bothered going down in April, anyone?
April?
What's going on in April?
The Linux User and Developer Expo, is that?
That's October.
Which one's in April? Like,
no, there isn't one. there used to be, too. There was Linux World UK, and there was the Linux User and Developer Expo, and then Linux World just went away.
See, I reckon there should be some kind of event before October.
Really, you think so?
What sort of time would you say? What sort of month?
I think June would be a good time, because, you know, everyone can come out for a bit of sunny beer afterwards. Yeah. But
whatever it is, it's good, because the rest of them are
what
shit.
Kind of,
generally, people have finished, like, finals and things then. Yeah. So
but where would you have such an event,
before
Matt?
Before school holidays.
And who could organise it?
I'd have it in Wolverhampton, because it's convenient for me. And also, it's got very good rail, air and road links.
As it bollocks.
I don't mean my back garden, but it's not quite big enough.
But Matt, the main question is, what kind of date would you have in mind for such an event if we were to create a wonderful event that everyone in the world...
We create one!
If we were to, for instance, actually declare a real date for the much promised and you never thought it was coming Lug Radio Live,
it'll
Matt,
never
when
happen.
Would you do it?
Matthew Revelle would do Lug Radio Live on the 25th of June 2005 at the Molyneux Stadium, Wolverhampton. Come and get all your lovely Linux goodness for just a small amount of money to cover our costs.
Hey! Let's give it for the Lug Radio Live.
Lug Radio Live!
Oh, come on.
Feel the love.
I'm seriously impressed the money to pull this together, especially as it's a 28,000-seater stadium.
just to point out, ladies and gentlemen, it's
true.
Not actually in the Molyneux Stadium. It's the Terrace Bar in the Molyneux Stadium. We're not going to fill the whole Wolves Stadium unless we get a shitload of people wanting to come.
It's in the cheapest and largest corporate hosting place they've got.
We're all about cheap.
So let's summarise. 25th of June,
25th of June, 2005, from roughly 12 midday till about 5 in the evening,
yes.
Followed by beers on the town in Wolverhampton.
You've got your marketing voice on.
Can I just point out,
we do have some very cool speakers coming, but we're going to wait and confirm those over
TBC.
The next couple of months.
They're going to be very cool, and we're not going to tell you who they are.
Yeah, got to keep some mystery.
Do you know, this is going to be so good, I'm going to dig up Mother Teresa and bring her along. It really is.
I've got Charlie Chaplin and Teresa.
Now, if you want to email show@lugradio.org with which celebrity you'd like us to dig up to bring along.
And preferably dead ones, because actually murdering them and burying them could result in some serious legal action than we're going to get.
Send your donations.
Repercussions.
Send your spade. I've got a good spade, actually, lads.
Would you shut up and get my fucking allotment?
Guaranteed free admission with a corpse, is that what we're basically saying?
Bring a bottle.
Bring your body.
BYOB, yeah.
How have we gone to ritualistic killing to come to Lug Radio?
You didn't turn it into ritualistic. No, the guy who's into metal turned it into a ritualistic killing.
Because, go on.
I'd just like to make it clear that Lug Radio Live is not going to be your corporate bullshit. It's not going to be loads of twats there. It's
You're not
going to be
Matt.
Yeah, it's very funny, very funny.
Fucking spark shoots, he scores. Yes.
It's going to be just normal Linux people, open source dudes getting together, some good people speaking, maybe the finale of the Lug Radio Pop Quiz if we ever do the first bit. And
we might even get any teams.
Finale? There's only a couple of teams?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll probably do some beer may be imbibed during the course of this event.
Yep, and there may be some Lug Radio open source awards or something if we ever do that bit
free
as well.
Software awards, this is something, this is the only thing that I really miss after I left. There should be the fucking free and open source software awards.
Okay, you got it. So yeah, Lug Radio Live, email us, show@lugradio.org if you plan to come. I think that we'll ask for a minimum donation of a couple of quid, something like that. We haven't worked it out yet, maybe 4 or 5 quid maximum to help cover, because it is going to cost a lot to hire the hall.
What we're doing,
but yeah, just come along, it'll be great.
The aim of this is that we need donations to pay for it. We're not interested in making any profit on this. We just want to pay for the hall. We just want to pay for the space.
Your hose.
You know, my skanky bitches to come down. That's all. We just want to get
our quality hoe.
They're just the core kind of
with the allotment. What happened,
what,
man?
What allotment? What?
What happened?
Open gardening. .org/get involved.
Packer.
So, 25th of June. Remember it. Put it in your diary. Put it in Hula.
25th of June.
Put it in, I don't know, put it in your mum if you want, whatever.
You'll never remember it.
Lug Radio Live.
We've been saying for a while that we'd phone people up for like 5 minute updates.
Yep. Yeah.
So, why don't we get that great Galar back on the phone? Jeff Waugh.
Let's do that.
Ring
him up.
Dirty Sheila. Let's get him on the phone.
Good morning.
Hi, Jeff. It's Lug Radio calling.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, Jeff. Not so bad. How's it going, Jeff?
Pretty good. Early in the morning again. Thanks very much.
I love it.
Well, we like to keep you, on the foot. So we believe that. Shut up, guys. It's an English description on the foot. I've just made it up. Jeff.
For no
I believe that you've got some news for us.
Indeed, there's a cool project happening in Ubuntu land at the moment, and I'm sure it will impress Jono.
Sorry?
I'm sure it will impress Jono.
Okay, go for it, yeah.
It's a new project. It's Ubuntu with a K.
Ah, all right.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. Ubuntu.
No, it's not a Buntuck. No, Kubuntu.
Kubuntu, excellent. Do they drink it in the Congo?
No, I watched that ridiculous Umbongo video. That was terrible, guys.
Excellent.
I'm sure it's like some formative childhood years thing going on there, but
totally.
Oh no.
Absolutely.
It is.
So, Jeff, tell us about Ubuntu.
So Kubuntu is, if you can imagine Ubuntu, with all of that GNOME stuff, like, taken out.
No!
And then all sorts of KDE stuff put back in.
Right.
Okay.
That's Kubuntu.
Can you run it on Windows?
And it will have an install CD and a live CD and all that sort of stuff as well.
Cool.
And so Chris Halls, who is a UK guy who works on OpenOffice.
Oh, right, yeah.
Andreas Mueller and Jonathan Riddell.
Yeah.
Are all madly working on it. So they've got heaps of great KDE stuff happening in Ubuntu's universe. And that's being all put together to create Kubuntu.
Cool. Is this an official Canonical project, or is it just something that some guys are doing?
Well, it kind of we kind of knew it would happen, so we're supporting it. And given that we you know, we're very keen to see, you know, new derivatives and stuff like that start off. You may have heard the news that Guada Linux are now basing their distribution on Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then Louis Villa has been madly running around Linux World yes. in Boston, handing out GNOME Live CDs based on Ubuntu as well.
Yep, we saw that as well. Are we likely to see Window Maker Ubuntu next, or Fluxbox Ubuntu?
Windows Ubuntu.
Windows Ubuntu.
Go for Window Maker, doesn't it? I'm sure that at some stage someone will pop up and create a GNU Step Ubuntu.
Well, you know, I mean, and possibly even a Herd Ubuntu or so, but what does Herd exist? Is anyone using Herd? I don't think it exists.
I haven't heard.
Wacka, wacka, wacka. So, oh, that's great news, Jeff. So, everything else good in the Ubuntu camp?
Indeed, indeed. We're madly working on getting Hori ready for preview in mid-March.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
It's great to hear from you, Jeff. Have a nice day. We're going to go to bed soon. Not in separate beds, because it's obviously late over here.
We're like the monkeys. We sleep together.
So, fantastic. Take care, Jeff. I will speak to you
soon.
I'll
with you later. Take care. Hi to your mum for me.
Bye.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, so end of the show. We've got a lot of time left, so we're going to get straight into the emails.
Yes.
And... don't you want to say something else?
I was going to say, yes, like everyone else.
Weren't we going to have, like, a cool Lug Radio Letters jingle or something?
Yeah, so what happened to that, Jono?
All eyes turn to Jono. Everyone focuses on me. It's not been done yet. That's my excuse.
What we need is something that's really tuneless that goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Because most of the...
There you go. That's the jingle. Right there, that.
Thanks. Just about to go
do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's about a D minor and it's about 500.
Email. There you go. Email. Get the email.
So,
okay, emails.
Yeah, hey, do you want to kick off? A guy from The Matrix mailed me.
Fantastic. What's his name?
APUC mailed me and said, hello, one and all.
Hello.
The Matrix, my ass. Those film writers stole my name. The film.
What? It took place in his ass.
I was using it long before they waltzed in. Back to the soup of the day. We love the Python. thanks to the constant and quite deserved pimping of the Python, I decided to check it out and was impressed. I can't believe I'm reading this. I've started using the Python.
We admire your
desire. Where I previously
desire.
Used to see. It's far more
as well.
Suited for what I'm doing. Once again, rock on the APOC.
Thank you, Bollock, or whatever your name is.
Bollock.
Is your brother called Greg?
I've got one here from a guy called Owen Rudge, who points out, after we did some memory archaeology and unearthed the existence of GEM, which everyone had forgotten about, Owen Rogers mailed us to tell us there are still GEM people alive and GEM is still being developed.
Yeah, I looked at his website and there's some interesting screenshots.
Geared towards FreeDOS, apparently. So actually, I was looking at GEM not long back for ideas.
It's a lettuce, isn't it?
Little GEM, yeah, I'm growing some of them. Shut up about your fucking alarm. He started it.
So if anyone's actually interested in looking
some
at
lettuce.
GEM. If anyone
lettuce, no.
If anyone's interested in looking at GEM, then first of all, you know, while you were asleep, we made our way into the 21st century. But more importantly, look at www.owenrudge.net/GEM or OpenGEM at gem.shaneland.co.uk.
You know, the amazing thing is, I was only actually looking at that site just about 2 or 3 weeks back.
Cool.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
The whole fucking internet.
Not kind of, you know, David Copperfield levels of amazing or anything, but it's amazing.
Hey.
I like Charles Dickens.
You could fucking walk through GEM.
your allotment.
Shut up. Windows.
Oh, shut up.
No, no, shut up.
Right, okay. I had an email from...
What, personally?
It actually says Stuart Langridge. I'm assuming what? That no, you forwarded this. It did, look, see?
Oh, yeah, that's not actually a mail from John Riddell at all. It's because I noticed it and posted it to the show, but I made a thing to mention.
So you just confused the listenership. Well, basically...
No, you did.
Bollock well Man done. Is basically saying that Jonathan Riddell does care about university usability.
It's Jonathan Riddell from the KDE project.
And he says somewhere...
See the guy with the skirt.
And this is how...
Yeah.
Sorry. Kilt. And he says...
I am no.
All right.
That
so,
is actually the bloke.
Okay, Matt, you're the Scottish man.
Hello.
Read this paragraph out. This is what Jonathan Skirtboy Riddell...
Skirtboy.
And this is how K-Control should look. KDE has a major problem with anyone being able to make usability improvements. The same default thread on Conqueror seemed to have led to nowhere. Sigh. But this is a definite candidate for KDE 4, or do I hear a wishes for 3.5? That went wrong.
No, sort of going Indian at the end. But the reason I pointed that out was we've been talking for quite a while about how the GNOME guys concentrate on usability and the KDE guys don't seem to be, but at least one KDE guy is.
I tell you what, John,
let's get the Riddler on.
Did John just say we're doomed there at the end? Because he was still getting there, wasn't
it? He's doing some really great... I saw some work that he's been doing, like on... I think it was K-Control or Conquer or something. And it is looking really good, so... Very much. Thank you, John, for not getting in touch with us.
And we can run it on Windows soon.
Yes.
Next email.
Right. Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Just got a very quick one from Espen here, who's a Norwegian living in Wisconsin. He says, thanks for your really cool show. Your show is the coolest on the whole internet.
Hang on, didn't we write that?
You've just written that on the bottom of the email in pencil. I just thought I'd say to you...
incidentally, the short angry one's the best one on the show.
He says, I was just sitting down listening to your show and I was amazed of your Norwegian skills. That was really cool. So, Espen, hello, kan du forsnakke med Espen?
Just say, why is there always a gap between when you say the name of the person?
Because I always forget that bit.
just say Runen in the way you said it the last time.
Runen.
Runen.
I was on my university course, there was this really fit girl called Cecilia Bjørnrud. And Beyond the Rood means red bear. Apparently.
Beyond Rood?
No. Beyond the Rood.
Beyond Rood.
Yeah, Beyond is bear, isn't it?
I thought she was Rood the bird out of Destiny's red. Child.
So.
So, another one?
Yeah, I've got one from a guy called Jonathan. You'd have to bear with me because it's reasonably big, but it's one kind of pointed towards Ack, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I'm going to get a shoe in. Have the mono.
It's quite balanced. He says, I hope you guys don't mind a few comments. First up, the comments
We do, so carry on.
Do we
mind comments? Oh, no, show at Lug Radio it came to.
Yeah, that's what it came to.
Okay, cool, really on.
I'll start again.
Hope
you don't mind a few comments.
It's not a comment about me anyway.
No, it's about the red beard over there. Right then, first up, the comment to what projects would these 25 guys have been doing if they weren't working on Mono is sadly a fallacy. They don't have to have been doing anything. They may have only been attracted to the technology and thus decided to get part of its creation. It's a bit like, in some ways, saying if only they'd scored that goal in the middle of the game, my team would have won.
Yes.
So, okay, that's
which
a point. Hang on a minute. No 2 points. Hang on a minute. Let me just finish. Do you want to jump in there?
They were being paid by Mono.
Okay.
By Novell. There's a difference between stuff you want to work on because it's fun and stuff you work on because you're being paid by your employer. But it is a good point and well argued.
Okay, and I think the second paragraph here is even more interesting because he says, number two, then is Python better than Mono? Come on, I've used Python for serious projects before and I've never been able to develop as fast as I can with Mono. Microsoft may be the apes of the gene pool on any given day, but C# has got its own legs. I have serious doubts I could have coded a solid Nintendo emulator that could maintain the speed and accuracy that I was capable of in C# without making compromises that I didn't want to make, whether in coding or in time or in my sanity.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
And lastly,
really
if we could have
the trenches, so you know, I salute that.
Well, yeah,
absolutely.
He's used both, so at least yeah. he's yeah, unlike any of us here.
He's used both for serious
what do you
projects.
Think?
I think it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So his last paragraph. He says, lastly, if one, it's a bit posh, if one could wave a magic wand and come up with a solid platform that could garner the interest of developers and allow them to quickly develop applications, then by all means, let that wand be waved. Unfortunately, I haven't seen that wand yet. The closest thing that we've got is this C-sharp stuff, but God knows it surely isn't Java. Python, while good in its own right, is just too different for most bread and butter C developers to nuzzle up to.
I knew he was going
to
say that. No, can't you? You got to have something that looks like C and works like C and thinks like
C. I have to say,
C.
It's well argued.
It is reasonably well argued. It just really fucking jars me off because people are using C at the moment. You got to have something which is basically like C or no one will be interested in it. Because everyone moved to C from other stuff when C was invented.
I think the transition.
Moved to C from 4.
Do you want to
list
what
your
book
is about? Tell me.
What's your book about?
My book?
What languages?
JavaScript.
Which is looking like
based
C.
Heavily on.
Okay, if you want to even look at it that way, yes.
Okay.
What would you say it was based on then?
What would I say what was based on?
JavaScript.
Yeah, I mean, it's C-ish. I think it's a shame, personally, but, you know, that's all you've got in terms of web languages. So,
okay,
there you go.
Next email is from, quick one from Donald Duncan, from South Austin Lug, I think, saying that he likes the show. Thanks, Donald.
Thanks, Donald. All the
Austin Lug people. Also, got a quick one, a bemusingly long one from Stuart George, who appears on the forums a couple of times. Just quickly say, I just want to quote this one, little bit of, bit of his email. It says, Dragonfly BSD user adrift in a sea of northerners with hordes of hairy Ubuntu users floating a toxic Gentoo box down the Tees River for decommissioning next to the two US floating cancer boats. So thanks for that.
That is genius. Before we finish the letters bit, a bit about Darren again and his girlfriend in the bath. Oh, beautiful picture, thank you, mate. He's looking to start
what
a
picture?
Well,
I think I had it on the screen.
Mental image.
It was a mental image. Let's be fair, per Darren. Looking to start a lug in Harrogate and North Yorks, if anyone's interested.
Eh?
North Yorkshire.
I've been there. Well, I was born there.
Why would anybody be interested in North Yorkshire?
One other thing that I wanted to mention, Mal here from Adam W, who says, I'm listening to Lug Radio... to series 9 now. Episode 9 now. I'm sure lots of people are going to email and mention this, which they haven't, so thank you very much, Adam. But the big thing you're missing about kernel modules is DKMS. Remember we talked about how kernel modules were plugged in?
The Dell thing.
Yeah, it's an extremely elegant workaround for the whole module recompilation problem, yes, even though it's sponsored by Dell, linux.dell.com/projects.shtml. Several of the official third-party modules for the Mandrake Linux kernel are now built through DKMS. It works rather well. Having very brief 30-second description of this, from what I saw of it, it keeps its own private kernel source tree and then compiles stuff against that. Now, it looks to me like Debian's module assistant.
Right.
Debian have a thing called module assistant, which I only discovered about 12 months ago. And it knows how to grab a Debian source deb for a kernel module and compile it and plug it into your kernel everything with a few button presses. And that seems to be the same kind of idea as DKMS.
Yeah, I've seen that.
When we talked about it, we said there are two ways of... making it easy to plug modules into kernels. You either make it so you've got a stable binary API, or you make it really, really trivially easy to compile a module. So when you say, I want that module, it goes away and compiles it, but doesn't tell you. And DKMS is working towards the second end.
Cool. Well, we have had shed loads of emails, and we really don't have time to read them all.
Got one more serious comment that Telecom Tom sent us, which is quite interesting. He just says,
Telecom Tom.
Okay. He says, basically, hot in the heels of Microsoft has always been Neville. Novell.
Neville Gurkha crawling through the grass.
He says, Novell has always been like that.
Neville.
It depends on Microsoft for its existence. So it's no surprise that Mono has found a welcome home there.
Right.
Okay.
That's a lot of letters.
Thanks, everyone.
That's
keep sending
the letters.
Show.
At.
Lug.
Radio.
Dot. Thank you, Sparks.
Shatter.
Good. Yeah, so thank you for the letters. Keep them coming through. That was literally half of them, or a quarter of them, or we had loads through since the last one, since we were slash died. So thank you very much. And
yeah, forums.logradio.org for the forums, clan.logradio.org for the clan, IRC channel, hash Linux on Freenode.
No, hash yep. Lug Radio.
Yeah, Lug Radio.
Freenode. You're going to get a lot of uninterested people.
Hash Lug Radio.
Also, there's going to be, I think it's set up now, is torrents.logradio.org.
Yeah, we're working to get basically BitTorrent distribution for the latest episode mainly, just to save us when we get /dotted again. If that ever happens.
Which incidentally we did last week, hurrah.
So, hello to our 13,500 listeners.
And, more to the point, we want to say a really, really big thank you to the Mirror Network here.
Oh, definitely.
Oman, who set up the BitTorrent stuff, loads of other guys who ran Mirrors.
Schwuck, Neuro,
yep.
Slimy Mr. Pete, ben. Infinite Monkeys, Archive.org.
We know that a lot of people have really shifted a lot of bandwidth, and some people have actually shifted probably too much bandwidth. So thanks for sticking with us in our time of need. And it's a testament to the fact that the Lug Radio machine kept working when we were /dotted,
yep.
Which is absolutely fantastic. The site goes down every other day when it's not being /dotted, but thank you very much.
It's on Debian stable.
We'll talk about this in the next episode, Aid.
Okay, yeah. But we would like to salute all of you. Thank you very, very much.
Let's salute them.
We needed you when there were 14,000 downloads of the last episode or something.
I must point out that salutes don't actually work very well on the radio.
listen. Are you about to hear the salute? Ready?
Don't forget to send forward your teams for the pub quiz. We've not had enough, so come on, get some teams together.
Before we finish, let's just give one more mention of Lug Radio Live. 25th of June 2005, Lug Radio Live.
Wolverhampton.
It's at the Terrace Bar in Wolverhampton. Yep. 12 till 6.
Mail us to let us know you're coming.
It's right in the middle of the country. And that's a different country for lots of people.
We've also got
including
some
the northern lot, but you know,
we've also got people coming across from overseas. So we should have no coming.
Bernardo's coming from France,
which is great. So all you Norwegian people come over as well.
Bring your ladies.
Quick shout out to Fuzzbucket as well. Nice to meet you in Dublin a couple of weeks ago.
Wasn't it Fuzz Eggs?
He calls himself Fuzzbucket in real life.
All right.
What Fuzz Bucket jokes?
Okay. And his mate Dave, who was really funny. They're both good blokes. But Fuzz looked exactly like Andy Cairns at a therapy.
That's quite weird, isn't it?
Jimmy looks exactly like he does on his blog. On that photo of you puking.
This probably is Andy Cairns from therapy. I haven't seen him for a few years. And I've never seen him and Fuzz Bucket in the same room at the same time. So
let's talk about Scream Majoring a bit.
About what?
Major, massive therapy song.
Oh, right.
There's
two people going, yeah! And one of which is Andy Kent.
And the other one is... Yeah, the other one's Fish from Marillion.
Let's not talk about Marillion. Okay, thank you very much, and go and listen to the Linux Think Tech Show and their interview, Nat Friedman. It's very good.
And listen to our archive. Goodbye!
Bye! Bye.